We are continuing our study series in the book of Ruth. This is our new sermon series for the month of November. At last week, nakita po natin yung sunod-sunod na trahedya na nangyari sa pamilya ni Elimelech. Nagsimula po ito na nagkaroon ng famine sa Judah. Nangyari po ito dahil sa disiplina, a divine discipline from Yahweh, dahil sila po ay nagre-rebelde sa Panginoon. Ang pamilya ni Elimelech, ang ginawa niya ay tumakas po siya sa discipline ng Panginoon at pumunta sa bayan na tinatawag na Moab, kasama ang kanyang asawa na si Naomi at ang kanyang dalawang anak na lalaki. So, si Mahlon at saka si Kilion. So, ang kanilang inaasahan po is pagdating doon ay ang kanilang buhay ay giginhawa. Kaso, pagdating po nila, pagkalipas ng ilang taon, taliwas ang kanilang naranasan. Pumanaw ho si Elimelech at ang nangyari po dyan is naiwan ang kanyang may bahay na ang pangalan si Naomi at ang kanyang dalawang anak na lalaki. Hindi po nagtagal, yung dalawa niyang anak na lalaki ay nagpakasal sa mga babae sa Moab na kung saan pinagbabawal ng Panginoon, pero sinunod pa rin po nila. Ang pangalan po ng dalawang babae na yan ay Ruth at Orpah. And ito po ay nagsisimula ng gumanda ang kanilang buhay. Nakikita na nila yung ilaw sa dulo po ng kuweba at parang nagbabago na ang direksyon ng kanilang buhay. Nalang nakikita na ni Naomi ay magkakaroon siya ng mga apo at malaking pamilya. Pero sa kasamampalad, pumanaw naman ang dalawa niyang anak. At naiwan po silang tatlong mga babae na balo. Bumalik po silang tatlong balo sa Judah dahil nabalitaan nila na ang grasya ng Panginoon ay nanumbalik sa lugar na ito at may pagkain. At sa kalagitnaan po ng kanilang biyahe, papunta po sa Judah, si Orpah po ay nagdalawang isip at bumalik sa Moab sa kanyang mga pamilya at Diyos-Diyosan. Samantalang si Ruth naman po ay sumama kay Naomi mismo sa kanyang homeland. And pagdating po ni Naomi sa kanyang homeland, she is a person na kitang-kita na nawalan ng pag-asa at punong-puno ng bitterness to the point na binago na niya ang pangalan niya, Tumara, which means bitter. The book of Ruth is a book about love, kindness, devotion, and redemption to his people. Sa dilim ng sitwasyon ni Naomi, nasaan dito ang love? Nasaan dito yung kindness? Nasaan dito ang sinasabi na devotion ni Yahweh sa kanyang mga anak? Ano ba ang ginagawa ng Diyos sa oras ng kadiliman na ito? Paano ba kumilos ang Panginoon? Ngayong hapon na ito, ang point po natin na iikot ang ating sermon is that God causes all things to work together for our good so that He would get the glory. God causes all things to work together for our good so that He would get the glory. We have 3 points ngayong hapon na ito. Number 1, God's providence, verses 1 to 7. Number 2, God's provision and protection, verses 8 to 17. And number 3, God's pursuit, verses 18 hanggang 23. Unang-una sa lahat, God's providence. Basahin po natin ito. Verse 1 and 2. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth and the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field." Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grains after him, in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." Now, ang verse 1 po ay isang introduction. Isang introduction sa karakter na ang pangalan ay Boaz. Ang manunulat po na siya na hindi nabanggit kung sino ay nagpapahiwatig na itong karakter na ito ay malaki ang kahalagahan niya sa kabanata na ito o sa buong libro. Now, kung titignan naman po natin ang verse 2, si Naomi at saka si Ruth are two widows who just arrived in Judah and had no one to provide for them. Kung wala kang asawa, wala kang anak na lalaki, then wala kang means of income. Wala kang pagkakitaan, wala kang supplies. Since it is the harvest season, naisip po ni Ruth na to glean in the field para may pagkain ho sila. Yun po yung plano niya. Ang ibig sabihin po ng to glean or gleaning is to gather leftover grains na intentionally na tinira, intentionally na iniwanan ng mga magsasaka. Now, bakit sinabi kong intentionally na iniwan at intentionally na tinira? Dahil ayon po sa Old Testament law sa Leviticus chapter 19 and Deuteronomy chapter 24, nagbigay si Yahweh ng tagubilin ng aanihin lamang ng mga magsasaka ay ang mga nasa sulok ng mga bukid. Or they are not allowed to take the grains or gleans from the boundaries of the field. Okay? A glean is a stalk of grain that was cut. So isang mahabang grain po siya. Itsurang, which is yung nakikita niyong litrato dyan kanina. At kapag nakaligtaan ng mga magsasaka, putulin yung glean, nalagpasan nila, hindi na nila pwedeng balikan yun. Dire-diretso na sila nagtatabas. Pag may naiwanan, pag may nalaglag, may sobra, dire-diretso lang. Pababayaan, basta nasa border sila ng field. Now, bakit? Bakit inutos to ng Panginoon? It's because ayon sa Panginoon sa Leviticus chapter 19 verse 10, ang sabi kasi ni Yahweh, I am the Lord your God. Yung siya nagbigay ng dahilan doon, he just said, I am the Lord your God. Of course, he gave more details sa Deuteronomy 24. Pero ano sinasabi ni Yahweh dito? Ang sinasabi ni Yahweh dito, he is this kind of God. Gatong klaseng Diyos ako. Mapagmahal, maalalahanin, caring. This is also one way God provided for the poor, the orphans, the widows, and the foreigners. People like Naomi at saka Ruth na hindi kayang sustentuhan ang kanilang mga pangangailangan. God designed that to provide for the poor. Okay? Ruth probably knew about this practice through her mother-in-law na si Naomi. As easy as this sounds, hindi po ganito kasimple itong gagawin ni Ruth. In fact, napakadelikado ng gagawin ni Ruth na ito sa tatlong kadahilanan. Unang-una, she is a Moabitess. She is a Moabitess because the Moabites back then did not treat the Israelites kindly when they went out from Egypt. God instructed them, sa Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 3, and I read, no Ammonite or Moabite may enter the assembly of the Lord. Even to the 10th generation, none of them may enter the assembly of the Lord forever. So pinagbabawal talaga sila. Dahil kaaway sila. Pangalawang dahilan kung bakit delikado po ito, because Moabites are known to be immoral. Bakit kamo? The Moabites and Ammonites are people who came out from the incestuous relationship between ni Lot and his daughters. So si Lot po ay ang pamangkin ni Abraham. Napunta sila sa isang bundok after ng Sodom and Gomorrah. Sabi ng Panginoon, pumunta ka sa ganitong city, hindi siya pumunta ron. Ayon, hindi natin alam kung bakit. Pumunta si Lot doon sa kabundukan, nag-alala ang dalawang anak niya na babae, walang lalaki dito, parang kakalat ating lahi, nilasing nila ang kanyang tatay na si Lot, and from there, nagkaroon po yung dalawang magkapatid ng anak sa kanyang tatay. At doon nabuo yung lahi ng Moabites at lahi ng Ammonites. So may problema tayo dito. She is a type of foreigner who is not welcome sa lugar na ito. Bakit siya, baka kasi siya maltratuhin, baka siya apihin, pahiyahin o abusuhin. At kapag nanganganib ang buhay niya, sinong tutulong doon? Diba? Kasi kaaway na lahi yan, walang tutulong diyan. Baka siya ang baka kawawain ho lamang siya. Kaya alamin niya, kaya kahit na ganun ang kanyang kalagayan, ginawa po niya ito dahil mismo sa pagmamahal niya and kindness niya sa kanyang mother-in-law. Pangatlo, gleaning is not a glorious job. This is not a glorious job. This is rather a humbling one. Bakit kamo? Ang gleaning po sa ganitong kapamamaraanan is equivalent, and if you grew up in the Philippines o marahil narinig ho ninyo ng mga ginagawa ng mga tao nito sa Pilipinas, katumbas po ito ng isang tao na kongolekta ng basura. Na kung saan pupunta ho siya sa trash bins, looking for cans, looking for newspapers, looking for bottles, the basurero o mga ano ba, trasher. Mali ata trasher, yung skateboard. Ano? Those people who collect trash, dadalhin po nila yun sa junk shop. And doon lang sila magkakaroon ng pera. This is equivalent to that. Para may pangkain lang sila. So this is really a humbling job. So, saan plano ni Ruth mag-glean or magdampot ng leftover grain? Kasi lalabas lang siya, di ba? So ang sagot po rito, hindi niya alam. Look at verse 2. Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain. Kanino? After him in whose sight I shall find favor. This is very risky. In short, ang sinasabi po niya dito, doon ako mamumulot ng grains sa mga magsasaka who will extend grace sa akin. Kung sino man ang maaawa sa akin. Kung sino man ang magiging gracious sa akin. Or anyone who would find favor sa akin. She doesn't know where to go. She doesn't know anyone in the community. She doesn't know if she needs to work in order to... Alam niya, kailangan lang niya magtrabaho kasi nagugutom na sila. There's no means for provisions. Ruth was kind and compassionate to her aging mother-in-law na si Naomi. Now, just a short application here, bagamat hindi po ito yung main point, pero mahalagang point ito in passing that I would like to address to all of us. For those of us na buhay pa ang ating mga ina or mother-in-law, how are you caring for your aging mother? How are you caring for your aging mother-in-law? The Bible speaks to that, Proverbs 23:22. Do not despise your mother when she is old. Let me give us a quick application points dito on how to care for our aging mother or mother-in-law. And this is going to be really quick. Number one, appreciate your mother or mother-in-law. Okay, when I say mother, it also means mother-in-law, just to shorten it. Appreciate your mother. Bakit po kasi mothering is difficult? I may not know this firsthand, but I have seen it sa buhay ng aking nanay. Mothering is difficult, time-demanding, energy-draining, heart-breaking, full-time job. You can appreciate their sacrifices. Ipaalam po natin sa kanila kung gaano natin sila kamahal. Let them know how we love them. Let them know that you appreciate all of the efforts that they have done from the past in the present. They need to. You need to. Well, Pastor, I've been helping her around naman. I've been giving support. And that's wonderful. But friends, she needs to hear it. She needs to hear it. Appreciate her. Second, accept your mother. Accept. Now, what kind of a point is that? Of course I accept my mother. Hold on. Here's the thing. The older we get, the more we see the flaws, the weaknesses, and the mistakes of our mother. Mahalaga po that we accept them despite of the flaws. Acceptance does not mean to pretend that they're perfect. Or that we're ignoring their mistakes or agreeing with them all the time. Oo ka na lang dyan para matapos na. Para malaman niya na ina-accept natin siya. Umoo ka na lang for the sake of peace. So ano ba ibig sabihin ng acceptance, Pastor? Acceptance means realizing that God gave them to you. Acceptance means realizing that God used them to bring you to this world. Friends, here's what you need to understand. You did not choose your mother. God did. Pastor, madali yan kung matino ang nanay mo eh. Doesn't matter. God chose that mother for you. 9 months ka dinala sa kanyang sinapupunan. That should count for something. Inabandon na kami. 9 months. God has graciously cared for you through her. Acceptance also means listening to what they say. Listening to them. Karamihan sa atin know by now that we are probably more educated than our mothers. Probably. know more about the modern world than they do. Probably. Okay. And sometimes we feel that we do not, we are not bound to their counsel. Maring tama ito, but don't despise her advice. Don't despise her advice. Honor her. Listen to her. We understand when they get older, they have a tendency to say the same things all over again. Akala niya hindi pa niya nakwento. But listen, if they are still alive, that's grace. I've been to so many funerals as a pastor. One recurring theme na naririnig ko for my almost 20 years is this. Sana nung buhay pa siya, pinakain ko na siya sa gusto niyang restaurant. Sana nung buhay pa siya, sana binili ko yung gusto niyang baro. Friends, it's good to give flowers when they're dead. But it's good to give them flowers now where they can smell it and appreciate it. Do good now. Accept them. Listen to them. Acceptance also means forgiving them. Forgiving. Patawarin. The fact of life is we often hurt those who we love the most. That's the truth. If you live together for any length of time, you're going to be hurt by the people you love. That's why families must be built on forgiveness. Because we hurt each other intentionally or unintentionally. But more importantly, as forgiven sinners by Christ, we must learn to forgive as well. If you are here and you're saying you're a professing Christian, you have tasted, benefited yung sweetness ng forgiveness ng Panginoon sa iyong kasalanan, then that should overflow from you to them. It's time to forgive. Huwag tayo pareho ni Mara. Let's not be bitter. Let's be better than that. Third, affirm your mother. Affirm. The older they get, the less respect they receive. That's the truth. As grown children, we become busy and start our own families and live separately away sa kanila. And what happens? They lead a very lonely life. Our aging mothers or mother-in-laws have a great need, a desperate need to feel and to know that they made some kind of a contribution sa buhay mo. They need affirmation. Stay in touch with them. Video call them. Chat with them. Pag umuwi sa Pilipinas, sabihin mo naman na umuwi ka. Iba sa mga, di tayo nagpaparamdam. Go to them. Support them. Care for them financially. Care for them physically. Care for their soul by pointing them to Christ. One of the seven last words or sayings to Jesus Christ when he looked down on the apostle John, take care of my mother. That's in John 19 if you want to look it up. Ruth is committed, devoted, and kind to her mother-in-law. Friends, are you kind to your mother? Young people, are you kind to your mother? Back to the story. Let's read verses 3 to 7. We're seeing waterworks going on already now. Verses 3 to 7. So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. And he said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered, the Lord bless you. Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, she's the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers. So she came and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest. Ang kauna-unahang field na napuntahan ni Naomi, ni Ruth, ay pagmamayari po mismo ni Boaz. She doesn't know who owns the field. Hindi niya alam, hindi niya kilala si Boaz. Hindi rin niya alam na kamag-anak pala si Boaz. It's just so happy na nandun siya nagpunta and she received favor sa foreman. Look at verse 4. So verse 4, we are introduced to Boaz na galing Bethlehem. And as soon as he arrived, he gave an unusual greeting. This is a very unusual greeting, pero para sa akin, parang simpa, this is like a common greeting. Sabi niya, the Lord be with you. Pero it seems like very common sa atin, pero sa kanila hindi. Because ang common greeting ng mga Hudyo is shalom. That's the common greeting, which means peace or peace be with you. But here comes Boaz saying, the Lord be with you. So Boaz is saying something deeper than kamusta. Anong balita? Kasi yun yung parang equivalent ng shalom eh. What does it mean? It means God has been good in providing us all of this harvest. It was a good harvest. And he's honoring God. He's acknowledging the Lord's working presence with the workers in the field. Now remember, galing lang sila sa famine. And what they're seeing right now is really coming from the Lord. No? And it seems like that, na there was a repentance and revival with God's people. And as a result, God blessed them. Remember, the reason why my famine, it's because they were under God's discipline. And if God's people repent and trusted Him and cried out to Him, God forgives and God blesses. And here He comes saying, itong nakikita niyo ito, galing talaga sa Panginoon ito, pagpapala. That's the type of greeting he's giving. It's like it's a snip, parang exhortation, a snippet na maiksi lang. And they greet him back, the Lord bless you. Which means they're acknowledging that it was the Lord who made their lives and work fruitful. Boaz is a man who feared the Lord. Boaz is a godly man. A man who is kind to his workers. They are recognizing that God is in control of everything sa harvest. Tapos, sa kalagitnaan ng mga batian na ito, napansin ni Boaz, sino? Si Ruth. Probably siguro kilala niya lahat yung mga manggagawa niya. He knows his workers. Probably si Ruth ay iba ang itsura because she has a different ethnicity. Or maring iba ang kanyang kasuotan and so napansin siya ni Boaz. So at sinabi niya ng kanyang foreman, ito si Ruth, yung Moabites. Kasama siya ni Naomi nung bumalik dito. Ang kwento nga na naririnig ko, iniwanan daw niya ang kanyang bayan, iniwanan niya ang kanyang pamilya, iniwanan niya ang Diyos, at pinili niya sumama kay Naomi. Actually, lumapit nga siya sa akin at nakiusap kung pwede siya mag-glean ng mga ano. Kaya sabi ko, sige, kumuha ka na lang dyan ang kahit ano, naawa rin ako. Now, what's interesting is in verse 3. Balik kayo sa verse 3. Dahil na-mention dito, and she, si Ruth, happened to. Now, happen means parang chance, ano? Or parang happenstance. Or parang out of sheer luck. As if it was a stroke of luck that she ended up gleaning in Boaz's field. Pero it was not pure luck, mga kaibigan. The author is giving us a hint. In short, sinasabi ng author dito na marahil ito siguro yung pumapasok sa isip ni Ruth habang nag-unfold lahat ang mga events sa kanyang harapan. Napunta siya sa isang field na mabait yung forma, na kung saan mabait ang mga kasamahan niya. We see God's providence at work dito. Hindi ho totoo yung tiyamba. Okay? God's providence means that He is sovereign over all things. He is sovereign over creation. He is sovereign over time, physical, spiritual world, the affairs of man, human destiny, human successes, human failures, protection, and so on. God is sovereign over all. When we say God is sovereign over all, He is in control. There's nothing na nangyayari sa mundo na ito na hindi niya alam, hindi niya hinayaan. God is in control. God is sovereign. God is the God of providence. If God is sovereign sa lives ni Naomi at Ruth, then hindi po nataon lang na nakarating sila sa Judah sa panahon ng barley harvest. Hindi po nataon na napadpad si Ruth sa field ng pagmamay-ari ni Boaz. Hindi po nataon lang na yung araw na yon at oras na nun bumisita si Boaz na nandoon si Ruth. Hindi po ito tsamba lamang. At hindi po nataon lang na napansin ni Boaz si Ruth. This is God orchestrating yung lives nila. Hindi po ito nataon lang. Hindi po ito swerte. No, friends, this is not a stroke of luck. This is God's providence. It is His sovereign will. God works all things according to the counsel of His own will to the praise of His glorious name. Kaya po mga kaibigan, walang aksidente po sa mundo. Wala pong aksidente. Lahat ay nangyayari ayon sa soberanyang kalooban ng Panginoon. Napunta ka rito, hindi ka napilitan dito pumunta. Gusto ng Panginoon dito ka. Yung inuupuan mong yan, ay hindi, ang Panginoon talaga gusto dyan ka nakaupo. Of course, there's this divine sovereignty and human responsibility. May agent din na nagwo-work hand in hand. Ikaw pumili niyan, but technically, God really wants you to sit there. God is in control. Psalm 139 verse 16. In your book were written every one of them. The days were formed for me when as yet there was none of them. Acts 17:26. God have determined allotted periods and boundaries of their dwelling place. Tinalaga ng Panginoon. Kaya ang mga tila mga random na bagay na nangyayari po sa ating buhay ay ginagamit ng Panginoon para sa ikaluluwalhati ng kanyang pangalan at sa ikabubuti ng kanyang mga anak, sa ikabubuti natin. This should provide us comfort. If God is sovereign, this should comfort us, mga kaibigan. Bakit ka mo? It should comfort us, lalo na kapag meron tayong pinagdadaanan na kabigatan sa buhay na hindi natin alam kung bakit. We have questions of guidance and direction. Nag-aalala tayo sa kinabukasan natin, sa kinabukasan ng ating pamilya. Remember, God is in control and we can take comfort. Kaya madalas nating ito madalas nating gawin, magpaplano tayo ng ating course of action, and after doing that course of action, nasa tingin mo okay naman sa harapan ng Panginoon, but we have a tendency to worry. We become anxious, we become stressful when things are not going in accordance sa ating kagustuhan. At kadalasan nadadamay pa natin yung mahal natin sa buhay. They are stressed because of your stress. Hinahawaan mo na rin sila. Friends, listen, we could only do so much. We do not know the future. The future is out of our control. I'm not saying don't plan. I'm not saying don't do anything. We clearly see that Ruth went to the field. She did something. She worked. God providentially provided. May relationship yung God's sovereignty and human responsibility. Si Ruth at Naomi have no idea kung ano ang magiging kinabukasan nila. Wala silang long-term survival plan. Kakabalik lang nila sa Judah and they are not sure what's next. Si Ruth, anong ginawa? Nag-alala, naging anxious. Sinamahan na lang si Naomi sa bahay. Yung bang ginawa? Ay, hindi! Si Ruth bilang bagong mananampalata kay Yahweh na hindi alam ang gagawin, followed the pattern na nakasulat sa salita ng Diyos para sa mga destitute widow at sojourner in the land. In short, she listened to Leviticus 19 and Deuteronomy 24. Ha? Yung pala, may katuroan dito sa kultura nyo na ang Panginoon nagpo-provide, pupunta lang ako sa mga gilid ng mga field. That's the only Bible reference she had, and she trusted the Lord with it. And the Lord providentially blessed it. And she followed it day after day. Hanggang matapos yung harvest. Isn't that interesting? And so she entrusted her life to the sovereign God who was guiding her every step of the way. Friends, are we trusting the sovereign God to guide us every step of the way? Friends, when we are anxious and panicking, do we run to God's word? Or do we run to the ways of the world? Not only do we see God's providence at work, we also see God's provisions and protection. Okay, Ruth, which is number 2. Verse 8 to 9, then Boaz said to Ruth, now listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn? So pagkatapos ikwento ng foreman kay Boaz kung sino ho si Ruth, so hindi natin alam kung pinatawag ba ni Boaz o nilapitan ni Boaz. Pero ang ginawa po ni Boaz dito, kinausap niya si Ruth at sinabi niya, now listen, daughter. Now let's stop right there. This tells us na malaki ang tinanda ni Boaz kay Ruth. Equivalent po natin yan sa salitang, anak, makinig ka. O iha, makinig ka sa sasabihin ko. So in short, that gives us, that's malaki ang agwat niya ito. Isang dekada, dalawang dekada, hindi natin alam. At sinabihan niya na huwag ka na mamulot ng grain sa iba pang mga bukid. Dito ka na lang kasama sa akin, mga manggagawang babae. Huwag ka na pumunta ron. At sinabi ko na din sa mga tao ko na huwag ka nang pigilan at sa pagkuha ng grain. In fact, kung nauuhaw ka, may tubigan doon, pumunta ka na ron, uminom ka na lang. Walang pipigil sa iyo doon. Dahil sa kindness ni Boaz, Ruth was humble. Look at verse 10. She bowed down face flat to the ground at tinanong niya, bakit po napakabuti ninyo sa akin samantalang dayuhan po ako? Kitang-kita po kung anong klaseng babae ito si Ruth, no? Sa kanyang pagtugon, she is a woman of character. Hindi siya basta-basta naglin na lang, nagpaalam pa siya. Sinabihan siya ng gano'n. Minsan, mga tao may mga pakabig eh. Binigyan mo ni kanan, gusto pa yung kaliwa. Pero hindi ako karapat dapat. Ganun siyang tasing babae. At bakit binigyan ng ganitong klaseng pansin ni Boaz si Ruth? Yun ang tanong eh. Bakit binigyan niya ng ganong klaseng pansin? Dahil ba sa angking ganda ni Ruth? Sino babae na yun? O kaya naman dahil sa kanyang kaakit-akit na tindig, kaya na-attract siya kay Ruth? Yung ba ang dahilan? Tingnan po natin ang verse 11 to 12. But Boaz answered her, all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and full reward be given to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Kung iisipin po ninyo, ito yung kauna-unahang conversation ng dalawa. No? Kauna-unahang sa pag-uusap. So, actually it's quite beautiful, yung unang encounter. I'll tell you why it's beautiful. Kasi ang sinabi ni Boaz, he was impressed sa ginawa niya para sa kanyang biyanan. And he was also encouraged how she turned from relying to worshiping the gods of the Moabites to relying the true God, Yahweh. Boaz was affirming her faith kay Yahweh, whose wings you took refuge. Naalan niyo ba yung sinabi ni Ruth sa chapter 1, verse 16? Kasi this is where Ruth came to faith kay Yahweh. Sabi sa chapter 1, verse 16, as I read, for where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people. Your God will be my God. She embraced Yahweh. After saying ni Naomi, bumalik ka na sa Diyos-Diyosan mo. Friends, Boaz was not primarily attracted to Ruth's physical attributes, but by her character. Her compassion for her mother-in-law, that she was a faithful child of God. Listen, Boaz was attracted to Ruth not because of her youthful beauty, but because she was godly. To the single men and as a congregation at all, let me give a side application. What kind of women are you attracted to? Are you attracted to a godly woman? If single men, if you are praying for a godly woman, praise God. If you're praying for a godly woman to be a partner in life, then you have to understand that a godly woman is attracted to a godly man. Are you a godly man? Single men, what type of women do you attract? Of course, this applies to our women. I love to single out men kasi yun yung context. Look at verse 13. Makikita natin na nagpasalamat muli si Ruth dahil tinuturing siyang parang kaibigan, bilang kabilang na manggagawa kahit hindi siya kasama sa mga manggagawa. Now in verse 14 to 16, Boaz continued to show his kindness and compassion kay Ruth. Look at verse 14. Niyaya niya kumain kasama sa kanilang mga kasamahan. Sa sobrang dami niyang pagkain na ibinigay sa kanya, nakapag-take out pa siya, nakapag-baon pa. So, nakakita nung kain, she ate to her fill at nag-take home pa. Kung may ziplock yun, siguro may ziplock yun. Binaon niya. Ano tayo, familiar tayo dyan. Uy, meron ba kayong ziplock dyan? May foil kayo. Sayang kasi eh. Kahit sa hotel, tayo po yan. Nasa hotel, gano'n na rin. Gano'n ang litanya natin. Look at verse 15. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves. Do not reproach her. Tignan mo yung kabutihan ng mamang ito. Since hindi siya tiga Juda, hindi niya alam ang kultura, hindi niya siyado alam ang law. So probably, imbis na sa gilid lang siya nag-glean, ultimo nandoon, pinupulot na niya yung nasa gitna. Ultimo yung nakabandel, kinukuha na niya siguro. That's why, and sinabi ni Moab dito, do not reproach her. What's interesting is, yung sa NASB, ang translation, do not insult her. Or do not embarrass her. Huwag mo siyang pahiyay na kahit yung mismong tinabi na natin sa sarili, kinukuha na niya. Eh kung ako yan, napaka-abusado ng babae. But she doesn't know it. But look at how kind this man is. And hindi lang ito ang kanyang ginawa. Tignan po niya verse 16 to 17. And also pull out, he's instructing his foreman, and also pull out some of the bundles of her and leave it for her to glean. Do not rebuke her. 17. So she gleaned in the field until evening, then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an epop of barley. Sinadya, ipa sinabi ni Boaz, sadyain mo mag-iwan pa. Damihan mo pa. Now, ano yung epop of barley? So, hindi natin alam po yan, pero equivalent yung, it's a type of measurement, it's an old type of dry measurement nung panahon ng mga Hebrews. Pero ang katumbas po nito ay 22 liters or 5.5 gallons. Para sa dalawang balo na katulad ni Naomi at saka ni Ruth, tatagal po ito ng dalawang linggo. Isang, by the way, this is just one day. Yung chapter 2 is just one day. Hindi pa 24 hours. Ang dami nangyari sa isang araw. Now, what is this telling us? Anong application ang tinuturo sa atin ito, Pastor? Na si Boaz ay isang galante at mabuting lalaki na dapat ito yung mga katangian na dapat hanapin ng babae? Yung ba ang application natin dito? Na dapat mabait at matandang mama na mayaman, na may mansyon at Mercedes? Yung ba ang hinahanap na? Ay, hindi ho. Na si Boaz ay ibang klaseng umibig? Yung ba application dito? Yung mga single men, pag ikaw umibig, bigay todo. Yung ba hindi ho yung application dito? Maaari nandun ang ibang mga katangian na ito, pero hindi po ito yung pinaka-point. Remember, these are most of the time being misused and abused passage for dating. We must go back to its context. Ang point is that God in His kindness was faithfully providing for Ruth and Naomi through Boaz. And there's more to this than just physical provision. He is thinking about the ultimate provision for all nations. You will hear more about that in the next chapter and the last chapter. Scottish theologian and pastor Sinclair Ferguson comments on this, and he said, this new believer, Siruth, is learning from God She was learning that there is safety, joy, and blessing lay within the parameters of God's word, law, and purpose of her life. Friends, the same God who provided for the orphans and the widows and the sojourners to glean in Israel's fields has made provision kay Ruth is also the same God who will make provision for his children today. We should take comfort in that. God knows yung pangangailangan mo. God knows yung mga hindi pa nababayaran na bills at hindi mo alam ang gagawin. God knows na kung saan meron kang mga sinusuportahan sa Pilipinas, na kung saan nagkukulang na at kulang ka na rito, pinapadala mo pa. Because of your love and sacrifice, God knows your needs now. Si Eric kanina, binasa niya yung Mateo 6:26 or Matthew 6:26, where God faithfully cares for the birds by providing for their needs. Friends, listen, paano pa kaya ang mga anak na tinubos ng Diyos ng dugo ng kanyang anak? Would He not take priority those who He had created in His image? God knows your need. God knows your basic needs. And God also can provide your real need. Ano yung real need ko, Pastor? That's the thing we don't know. Or some of us don't. Because we don't pursue it. That's why God pursues us, which is number three and last. God's pursuit. Verse 18. And she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. Now, habang nasa labas na nagtatrabaho po si Ruth, si Naomi natira ho sa bahay, marahil nag-aalala na siya. Di ba may tatlong dangerous time na pwedeng mangyari sa kanya? Marahil nag-aalala na kung sana makauwi na kahit wala na siya makuha, sana makauwi lang siya rito, maging safe siya. Nag-aantay sa bahay. At sa kinagulat ni Naomi, pagpasok po ni Ruth, may dalang pagkarami-raming barley. Malamang nakikita ko, nagulat, sana yan? Saan galing yan? Actually, ilang kanyang reaction dito eh. Look how she responded to verse 19. Where did you glean today? Saan galing yan? Saan ka nakapagano ngayon? Ito may excitement ng aling ito. And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, the man's name with whom I worked today is Boaz. And here comes the response. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, may he be blessed by the Lord whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead. Naomi also said to her, the man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers. Okay, naalala niyo ba yung huling litanya ni Naomi noong chapter 1 verse 20 to 20? Anong huling litanya niya? Nang litanya na ang kalagayan ko ngayon ay galing sa mabigat na kamay ng Diyos. Ang Diyos ang may kakagawaan kung bakit kami naghihirap ng ganito. Kinuha niya lahat, wala nang natira sa akin. Walang-wala na. Yun ang huling litanya niya eh. Di ba? You see, para kay Naomi, ang Diyos ay soberanya pero hindi mabuti. Para kay Naomi, napaka makapangyarihan ng Diyos pero walang awa o mercy. Pero mayroon nagbago kay Naomi. May nagbago sa kanyang puso. She has seen and experienced the kindness, the hesed of God to her through Ruth and Boaz. Look at verse 20. Naomi also said to her, the man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers. Now, that seems like a very passing passage, pero mabigat po ito. Now, if you remember chapter 1 again, yung tragedy na bukod na wala ng asawa at anak si Naomi, wala siyang apo. Okay? Walang anak, walang lalaki na pwedeng magtuloy ng lahi ni Elimelech. So that's tragic para sa kanila. Mayroon na tinatawag na levirate law or levirate marriage. Ano po ito? Na ang levirate law or levirate marriage ay yung pinapractice ng mga Israelita noong time na yon na kung saan ang levirate marriage ay literally a marriage with a brother-in-law. Okay? Allowed po yan sa kultura, and God blessed it. Kung namatay ang isang lalaki na hindi nagbigay ng anak sa kanyang asawa, it was common for the man's unmarried brother to marry the widow in order to provide her an heir or anak para sa kanyang kapatid na yumao. A widow would marry a brother-in-law, and the first son produced in that union was considered the legal descendant of her dead husband. Kaya siya tragic kasi walang anak si Naomi kay Elimelech. Ang tanging pag-asa na lang niya sana ay magkaroon ng isa pang anak, kaso namatay naman lahat. Ano na lang ang pag-asa niya? Ang pag-asa niya is a kinsman redeemer, which is pag-uusapan ni Kuya Dexter next week. That's why nabuhayan si Naomi. That's why she praised God's kindness and sovereignty. Now, in the next chapter, we will also see how naging matchmaker si Naomi kay Boaz. Gusto malaman kung paano maging matchmaker? Kung paano magkatuloy yun po next week? Of course, hindi naman lahat applicable sa atin ho yun, ano? Baka dalin nyo, dalin ko yung mga single dito. Hindi ho, hindi. We try to point to the Bible and hopefully be faithful. Pero obserban po natin yung conversation ng dalawang babae na to. Probably you're familiar with this conversation. Ruth the Moabite said, you know, beside this, he said to me, you shall reap close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young woman, lest in another field you would be assaulted. Alam mo yun, he said, she said, he said, she said, he, familiar ba kayo doon? Alam mo ba, ito yung sinabi. At sinabi pa niya, huwag na ako umalis, dito na lang daw ako magtrabaho. Anak, huwag ka na umalis dyan. Do you see the mother-in-law hinting dito? Parang sinabi ni Ruth, alam nyo, nay, sabi pa doon sa akin na magdito na lang ako hanggat matapos yung harvest. And I sense yung tone ni Naomi dito na sagot niya, tama yan anak. Doon ka lang magtrabaho. In the back of her head, marahil sinasabi niya, tingnan natin saan mapupunta ito. God was pursuing Naomi's heart. God was pursuing Naomi's heart. When she saw the provisions and the providence of God, she saw the kindness, the hesed of God to her, and her bitter heart melted and broke down to praises. The Lord has provided their physical needs, and now she is seeing the Lord providing Ruth a husband, a kinsman redeemer, a redeemer who will redeem them. Friends, if you are here today and you're not a Christian, or maybe you think you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, He is right now pursuing you. Maybe you came from other religions. Maring meron kang somehow paniniwala na that you're hardening your heart. But you know what? You're sitting here right now, hindi aksidente, and you're hearing this, and you feel that God was just hitting your heart. He's pursuing you right now. As He provided Ruth and Naomi their needs by sending a Redeemer, God is also sending a greater Redeemer who came to provide our greatest need. And an greatest need, the need to be forgiven. Forgiven from our sins. French physicist Blaise Pascal once said, there is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of each man and woman. This heart cannot be satisfied by any created thing, but only by God the Creator, made known through Jesus Christ. Well, he's saying, friends, is our hearts are always in need. Parang daw vacuum yung puso natin na sip-sip ng sip-sip. Our hearts are always in need. It's like a black hole that sucks everything but can never be satisfied. We'll try to cover it up with money. We'll try to cover it up with entertainment. Pasisiyahin natin sarili natin by the latest gadgets, recreation, relationships. Just to satisfy ourselves, just to make us, para mapunan lang yung vacuum, yung black hole, yung butas na yan. Pero anong ginagawa? Sinisip-sip lagi pa loob. It will suck everything in it and it will leave us empty and unsatisfied. Listen, it's a God-shaped hole and only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Only Jesus Christ can fill your heart with to the fullness. God gave the greatest provision. He gave His Son Jesus. He lived the perfect life. Died the perfect death para sa ating kasalanan. When He was at that cross, He knows He is paying for your sins. He was buried and on the third day, He has risen from the dead. And how should we respond sa gospel na ito? You must humble yourselves and take refuge under the wings of Christ your Redeemer. Friends, repent from your sins. Repent from you trusting your religion. Repent from your sins, no, saying that I'm good and I'm not that bad. Repent from that because no religion will satisfy. No goodness of your will qualify. Repent from that. You need the ultimate Redeemer, the Savior, who will fill the vacuum in your heart, who will save you from your sins. Trust Jesus Christ and His finished work on the cross. And as the Lord in His kindness forgives us and redeems us from our sins, we are called to share and show His loving kindness to others. Friends, are there people in your life that you need to show and share the loving kindness of God? Are there people in your life na kung saan you're having a hard time showing the loving kindness of God? Kung hindi ikaw, sino sa tingin mo ang magpapakita sa kanya nito? Ang magshare sa kanya nito? One of the best ways to show and share the loving kindness of God, and here's a giveaway, one of the best ways to show and share God's love is through the local church. Where we, dito sa local church, we try our very best to sing together as saints about the glories of God, where we hear prayers that points to God, we hopefully are hearing preaching that points to Christ, where they would see what the community in heaven would look like, the Aldo May Konting Vlogs. Friends, bring them to church. Let them see yung beauty ni Christ and the unity that comes from Christ. Let them see and hear as a church what people of heaven looks like. Although the flawed version, kasi we're still here. I encourage you, invite them to our Christmas carol this December 13. Pag binigyan mo ng ganito kalaking invitation, ang iyong kaibigan, ewan ko lang kung hihindi ito. Pwede kong pamaypayan, pwede pang takip. Placemat, di ba? O kaya pang, ano, tissue. Kaya ako namin nilakihan ito. Ang invitation na ito. Friends, invite them. Okay? Sabi mo, ba't ang laki na invitation? Ganto kalaki ang puso ko para sa iyo na makasama kita sa aming iglesia. Of course, dapat babae sa babae, lalaki sa lalaki. Diba? Except kung kapatid mo yun o pinsan. According to Mark Dever, the church is a display of God's glory to the watching world. Sa providence ng Panginoon, mapagkakatiwalaan natin ang kanyang soberenya. Sa provision ng Panginoon, may sapat na grasya para sa atin through Jesus Christ. At ang pag-pursuit ng Panginoon sa atin, ang nais niya ay ang patuloy nating pagpupuri sa Kanya. God causes all things to work together for our good so that He might get the glory. In your weakness, God's strength is magnified. Let's pray. Salamat, Panginoon, that we are not in control. You are. If we are in control, then we definitely will mess things up even worse, even in the worst case possible. So, Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters, and including myself, help us to understand and accept that You are sovereign sa aming situation. Help us to accept that You are in control. Na things may be out of control, but it's never been out of Your control. And we should not take control. We should trust. Would You give us wisdom on our next steps as we go through these challenges, naming buhay? We pray also, Lord, na we know you are our needs, and sometimes we are tempted to provide for things na hindi kaaya-aya sa inyong harapan. But Lord, would you increase our affections towards Jesus, that He alone would satisfy our hearts, na kung ano lang malagay sa aming mga plato, we would be satisfied. And I pray also, Lord, that you would keep pursuing our hearts. Because we know we are people who are bound na maligaw. We are prone to wander. So we pray, Father, that you would continue to draw us to yourself. Raise our affections towards Jesus. And I pray for the single men and single women here. I pray that they would pursue holiness, righteousness, and purity. Pray that they would desire, aspire, and pray for a godly man or a godly woman as they pursue to be godly. I pray that if you're calling them to be single, I pray that you would give them peace that surpasses all understanding, that you would maximize their singleness for your glory alone. The greater bridegroom. I pray for those of us who have nabuhay pa ang aming aging mothers. Lord, I don't know kung anong klaseng mother meron sila. They could have good mothers or maybe evil mothers. But I pray that you would give us the grace to extend this loving kindness na nanggagaling kay Kristo, that they would be attracted kay Christ, and that you would save them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.